Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is another edition of the Announcer Schedules Podcast. Episode 32 is here. Mike Gill, Phil DeMont Mollen. He is the voice, the face, the handle at Announcer Skeds. We are back with episode 32. Don't forget, like, rate, review, subscribe, 5 stars all across the board. That helps get us up the list and that you can get this out to your friends and people who want to hear more about the announcing world. We got a big show for you this week. Super Wild Card Weekend in the books. The divisional round is here. Some interesting stories, NBA, NHL, you name it. We got it. It's all right here on episode 32 of the Announcer Schedules Podcast. Phil DeMont Mollen is back. And, of course, Phil does all the tracking of all those broadcasters. When you see them tweeted out, it is coming from Phil DeMont Mollen. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. Yeah. You know, another week, episode 32, you know, as the Grateful Dead song goes, the music never stops. And in our case, the announcer news never stops. It just keeps on coming.
Yeah. I know that a lot of stuff this week that we want to get into, the games. We had Super Wild Card Weekend, which gave us some great endings. So we had some definite conversations to have on some of these calls and some of the broadcasts. We'll get into that. So let's kick it off with the NFL, who had their wild card weekend. And really great games all across the board. The Seattle-San Francisco game, maybe of – well, the Monday night game was probably the weakest game of them all. Seattle was winning at halftime. That was the Joe Davis, Darryl Johnson, Pam Oliver, Christina Pink team. And Joe Davis making his, you know, kind of – step onto the national stage during the World Series this year, and now he has the wild card round.
Yeah, I was able to catch a bit of this, and I thought Joe Davis did a perfectly fine job. And Seahawks Niners, as you said, you know, not really a competitive game for a lot of it, but yeah, you know, Davis continues to get these big spots. We'll see him in action again this weekend coming up since Fox has 2 games. And yeah, Joe Davis, Darryl Johnson, and then they had the 2 sideline reporters, Pam Oliver and Christina Pink.
Let's get a sample of Joe Davis, 49ers Seahawks on Fox.
Than it looked like it was going to. They'll let him throw again. Wide open, Deebo Samuel. Got a block from George Kittle. Deebo Samuel, there he goes! Foot on the gas! Touchdown San Francisco, a 74-yarder.
There you go, Joe Davis and Darryl Johnson. They'll have the Eagles-Giants this week, that team, by the way. More on the schedule for the week. But Joe Davis, I thought, really good call. I like Joe. Joe is starting to grow on me. You know, things that are new, you're trying to reevaluate. Foot on the gas. I really like how he enunciates and gives it to you.
Yeah, and Davis and Johnston, you know, working together all season long, you know, certainly seem to have meshed nicely. And, yeah, I think that was a – you know, remember back we were trying to figure out who was going to be the analyst with Davis and going through those possibilities and that kind of thing. And, you know, they went – with what a lot of people thought is a very kind of safe choice in Darryl Johnson, because he's been around for a while on a number of these different teams. And I think it was a good choice. I think these two have worked really well together all year long.
Yeah. Joe Davis, Darryl Johnson, again, they'll do Eagles Giants this week. Chargers and Jacksonville. This is the NBC
emeritus, Al Michaels game, Tony Dungy, Kylie Hartung. Obviously, some criticism about this pairing here. Al Michaels, I didn't really watch the game and think, man, Al's lost it. But, the energy between Dungy just has low energy. He's not a real energetic guy, but he gives good information. It's just, I think he's better suited for the studio. But the last play of the game, I definitely think could be talked about more.
Yeah, this is such an interesting topic, and it certainly got a lot of buzz through the weekend. There's a story with Andrew Marchand where Al Michaels actually, in a text conversation was able to kind of get back with him on quite a bit of, the criticism and that kind of thing. And, I want to preface this, and I'm not the only one who thinks this, that Al Michaels is one of my favorite all-time announcers, no doubt about it. Like, he's one of my guys, who I just love listening to.
Yeah.
And in this case, I agree with the premise that Dungy, the pairing with Dungy was what dragged it down, and what the issue was. And, it made me think a little bit, what were maybe the other possibilities?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Phil. I mean, the stable of guys over there probably, who could they have gone to? Let's first play the call. Because really, I don't think yes, the lower energy you had, the game is exciting. But here's the last call. And I'll point out something that I think Al did way too much of here.
Likely on Kansas City. Here we go for the win. Got it, but there's a flag down. There's a flag down as everybody's running out onto the field. But there's a penalty marker.
Offside. Defense number 26.
And they call it on the defense.
All right, so it's very ho-hum. Okay, here we go. I mean, this is a historic comeback here. By the way, from a downtrodden franchise who won four games, they have the number one pick. I mean, you got to set this up. Here's a team down 27-0. Four games last year. They fire their coach. They bring in Doug Peterson. Can they finish off this immaculate win? And all he's focused on is there's a flag on the play. Just, I was really disappointed in that game where we were all like, my God, this is an unbelievable comeback, and it didn't match.
Yeah, and part of it might have been, it sounded like there was a little bit of confusion as far as what was going on down there, and that can kind of throw a wrench in things. Again, like, that call aside, I think that the Dungy pairing, yeah. Created a lot of this.
Let's talk about that. Dungy's the guy they go with. Did they have someone else on staff in mind that they could have possibly brought in?
Well, we talked about this earlier on our podcast episodes back when Collinsworth had the voice issue. If you remember that way back beginning of the season, might have been week one if I remember correctly, and Collinsworth had done two games in one weekend, and his voice was suffering to a point that it was like, wow, I can't believe he's powering through this game. And we had kind of brainstormed a little bit as far as who else is in the NBC depth chart that they could have maybe moved into this role. I guess they could have used, Tony Dungy, looking back on it, but, Collinsworth wanted to do the game apparently, and in fact did the game. So we never saw what that contingency plan was. But that being said, there weren't many options when we kind of went through the possibilities. NBC doesn't have another package throughout the year. They suddenly have this, second game, come the playoffs, and Al Michaels in that emeritus role as the play-by-play announcer. Now, you think about NBC Notre Dame coverage, Jason Garrett, was the analyst there. And, he is very limited in his experience. And in fact, that was a broadcast that got quite a bit of scrutiny throughout the year as far as, being maybe a little unpopular with certain viewers and that kind of thing. So, I don't know if Garrett would have made sense necessarily. Well, now, the one I would like to bring up real quick.
This is the second straight year, real quick, Phil. This is the second straight year that NBC's number two team. I mean, let's remember Drew Brees was getting killed for his game with Tirico.
That's right. And, part of it is, again, I don't think, this is sort of nurtured throughout the season, and they don't have the inventory to do that as far as getting prepared for this game.
Right.
Now, the question that kept on popping in my head is, how different would the broadcast have been if Herb Street was the analyst with Michaels, you know, who was Michaels' partner, you know, throughout the Amazon Prime package? Would that have even been possible with all the contracts and that kind of thing? Who knows?
Right. And obviously, there's a lot of untangling to do. You know, he's at ESPN. He's also with Amazon. Is ESPN? I think it's more the ESPN that would have the issue of letting him go to NBC. Although his college duties are pretty much done, could they have let him do a one-off?
Right. But hypothetically, just from a style standpoint, consider how that would have been different. You know, they worked together all season long, so obviously had the chemistry. Herb Street brings a certain, you know, gravitas and also energy to the call and that kind of thing. And there would have been the storyline that these two have suffered through, you know, insufferable you know, games all season long, games that, you know, have been uncompetitive. That was a storyline in the media all season long, that the Amazon Prime games have been boring and whatnot. And, you know, Michaels had to live with them and all this stuff. And then finally, you know, in incredible second half in this game and, you know, a lot of excitement. So there could have been that element to it too. But again, like, who knows, like with the contracts, if that would have even been possible. Now, Kaylee Hartung, you know, who was exclusively working with Amazon Prime, to the best of my knowledge, did come over with Michaels and was the sideline reporter for this game. You know, but all that being said, there, I don't think there's that many possibilities. Now, I do need to give a shout out to Ian Castleberry, who is a writer who's been covering sports media for a long time with the Barrett Sports Media Group these days. And he raises a good possibility moving forward, which is, if you recall, Noah Eagle and Todd Blackledge were signed by NBC to come over and do that Big Ten broadcast, now that NBC has those rights. And whether those two down the road may be the tandem, or, you know, if Michaels is being used again next year, if Blackledge might be the guy, you know, as far as a color analyst. But as far as the current options at NBC, you know, they're really limited to the other guys who might be on that studio show, you know, and maybe a Jason Garrett, and or maybe you know go into the well a little further and maybe find one of these guys who's been doing maybe radio work or a veteran analyst type of thing. But, you know, there aren't a ton of options, but it sort of is like the perfect storm of, you know, these guys not working together all year long, NBC not having a second game in the package, not having a bunch of depth as far as football analyst. And so Dungy and Michaels, we saw what that, you know, was all about. And, you know, in, you know, the reaction from, you know, the viewers and the listeners out there, you know, certainly, you know, isn't a necessarily positive one, that it was a great broadcast.
Nope, I agree. And look, just because you didn't have a great broadcast doesn't mean you haven't been great. I think Al's been great. I think Al this year got dealt some bad games, so maybe he wasn't at his best. Having a great game helps make you great. He's had a ton of great ones over the year. I think the pairing – look, when you work with a new guy, I don't know that Al and Tony Dungy have ever worked together, quite frankly. I don't have any recollection of them ever being together, because Al would always be in the top pairing with Collingsworth during his recent time at NBC. Dungy obviously has only been at NBC, so I don't know when he would have ever worked with Al. You give him that guy for the first time, and Dungy doesn't have a lot of game experience. He has been a studio guy, and there's a different – you see the different element between studio guy and game analyst, and I think Tony does a really good job in the studio. Being at the game is not his strong suit. While he gives good information, he doesn't really get it out quickly. You know, it's slow and concise, and that's a difficult transition to make, to work with a new guy in that setting. And then you have a great game, but the game isn't great the whole time. It becomes great only at the end. You know, I read something that the Chargers led for 97% of the snaps in that game. So it wasn't a great game. It was just a great result. I mean, so interesting. We'll see what NBC goes with moving forward there. Will Al Michaels even be back at Amazon next year? There's been some speculation, you know. Does he even want to finish the contract out? He's got a 3-year deal. So we'll see if Al Michaels decides, you know what, those games are so bad on Thursday night, I've had it. Thanks for playing. And maybe we only see him in that playoff game. Who knows?
Yeah, and in that Ian Castleberry story, he also points out that Michaels likely will call at least one more wild card playoff game for NBC in that emeritus role, since he intends to work on the 2024 Paris Summer Olympics.
Got it.
So yeah, so there at least is one more season, you know, that, you know, Michaels needs a you know, analyst alongside him, you know, to do another one of these playoff games. I do want to mention Kaylee Hartung. I thought she did a great job. And, you know, I don't want to be too harsh on the broadcast as a whole, because I think it was just the style of the you know, the two guys in the booth that, you know, was perhaps the issue. But Hartung, I thought did a great job. You know, people who've been tuning into Amazon Prime got to see her again, to review. She had been on the news side for quite a few years after getting her start on the sports side with ESPN. And she had an interview post game with a couple of the Jaguars, which was really cool. And, you know, obviously, wild comeback, there in Jacksonville. And, you know, so, yeah, you know, we move on. You know, there's only one NBC game coming up this weekend, so no longer an issue necessarily. And we keep on rolling.
All right, Miami and the Bills, another good game. Back and forth they went. They traded blows in the middle of the ring. Jim Nantz, Tony Romo, Tracy Wolfson, Jay Feely on the call.
Yeah, you know, I do want to mention Jay Feely, because we didn't mention him last, show when we were previewing the upcoming games. And, you know, CBS has done this for a couple seasons now, where they bring in Feely as a kicking analyst, you know, for these games with the number one team of Nantz, Romo, and Wolfson. And, you know, it's kind of a cool element, you know, as far as, you know, when a, field goal is, you know, coming up, or perhaps when they're getting into field goal range, certainly things like onside kicks and stuff like that, you know, he can really get into the minutia of that kicking position. So, you know, just wanted to mention, you know, that Jay addition to this number one team is an interesting kind of approach, and, you know, certainly one more resource, sort of similar to, you know, the resource you have with the rules analyst available as well.
Yeah, I know, just scrolling through the social media feed on during that game, you know, Tony Romo was a guy who was almost universally loved in the beginning, and now I feel like nobody likes Tony Romo. I feel like, you know, remember last week I talked about McAfee. Now, I don't think Romo's has overexposure problem, but it just seems that a lot of people thought Romo was very pro Josh Allen in the game. I see a lot of people upset that he's got the call on the Josh Allen Bills game again this week, because people thought he was way too pro. But Romo, interesting, you know, he was a guy that really turned the industry on its head when he got that contract. It really was the domino that got all these booths changed to what we now have. So you can thank Romo for really the setup of what he had. He broke the bank. It got Aikman over to ESPN. It got Buck to follow him. It got Michaels to Amazon. Here are all the booths that we have set up here. So
one more mention, Mike, as far as that number one CBS team. Jim Nantz, by the way, got a major, major award just a couple days prior to that Dolphins Bills game. He won the Gerald R. Ford Award, which was given at the NCAA convention down in San Antonio. Basically, this is like the top award as far as an individual who advocates for college athletics. And he was down there. Actually, I had a couple students here at Brevard College in North Carolina who made the trip as, representatives of the student athlete committee, and they got a chance to meet Jim Nantz and take a photo with him. So that was really cool as far as him spending time with the students at this event. And then he gets on an airplane and goes to Buffalo to call this game. But just wanted to give a shout out to Jim Nantz. Well-deserved award, obviously, with all the work he's done over the years, especially with the NCAA tournament.
All right, and this will be his last NCAA tournament, we think, according to reports. So obviously we're going to lose Nantz on that big stage. Let's go to Giants and Vikings. Burkhardt, Olsen, Andrews, Rinaldi, this is your Super Bowl team. They got their first crack at really, being the number one team this year. Great reviews for Olsen. And then Burkhardt, obviously, with Olsen, they've known each other for a while. A pretty solid pairing here.
Yeah, solid pairing. You've got the two veteran sideline reporters as well, and Aaron Andrews and Tom Rinaldi. And I didn't catch any of this game. I was busy doing other things, but I did see the reaction when it came to Olsen, as you touched on, and you know, seemed like you know people are you know, just kind of fell in love with him. That you know, he had gotten praise throughout the regular season, but this was at a different level, you know, in this wild card game.
Yeah, and it's an interesting situation for him, obviously, with Brady kind of looming. He's handled it well. He's talked about it on different podcasts, and what are they going to do with him when he goes? Because of all the guys, I feel like he got the best reviews this weekend. And you know, we talked about a couple of weeks ago about what position he was, a tight end. He was probably the least known player of these number one booths. But, you know, he does a really solid job. I like Olsen. I think he does a good job, him and Burkhart. You know, it just when they get to that big stage, I think, is when people will get a chance to really hear him. And then what Fox does with him down the road, that will be kind of interesting. They had a good game there as well, Giants and Vikings, and then Ravens and Bengals. You had NBC's number one team, Tirico Collinsworth and Melissa Stark.
Yeah, this is the game I actually, you know, probably caught the most of. And, you know, it was a chance to really see just how good Tirico is. You know, I thought he was tremendous, and you know, just the right amount of, you know, words and energy and excitement, and obviously just a master at his craft, really.
Yeah, take a listen. This is the key play in the game, how Mike Tirico described it.
Right around Huntley.
There's Mike Tirico in just kind of shock, right? I mean, when that play happened, we're all watching it like, what are we watching right now? And I think he nailed it, actually.
Yeah, I think so, too. And, you know, worth noting, Chris Collinsworth, his partner, knows exactly when to lay out and not interrupt things, no matter how excited you might be. It's sort of like the visual of imagine having a seatbelt on and you're trying to jump out of the, you know, the airplane seat with that seatbelt on, but you can't because the seatbelt's on. You better, you know, lay off and let that play-by-play announcer make that call in full.
Yeah, I think Tirico, here's the final play of the game. He hits this pretty well too.
The season comes down to this in his car end zone. Intercepted. Jermaine Pratt has it. And for the first time in 31 years, Cincinnati, your Bengals have won a playoff game.
So this is the game from last year, and the reason I play that is because he talks about Pratt getting the interception. And I want to point out at the job that Tirico does, there's a moment in the game where there's a pass where Pratt almost gets the interception. And he says Pratt almost makes the same play that he made 1 year ago on this field where he seals the deal. I mean, the recollection to know that Pratt was the guy almost in the same spot on the field. There was another moment in the game where he talks about Tucker missing six field goals this year, and then he says, but three of them were 50 yards and three of them were blocked. So he just added that extra, like he missed six, but three were from 50 and three were blocked kicks. So he's not just missing, you know, 35 yarders. I thought Tirico really had a good night.
Yeah, you know, adding that sort of context, and a lot of it has to do with prep. You know, we've talked a lot about prep and preparation in the broadcast. You often wonder, at least I'm kind of visualizing when I see some of these calls, you know, do they have, you know, a note right there on their spotters board, you know, if indeed, you know, the Bengals win the game, this is what I'm going to go with. Sometimes yes, sometimes no, but so much of it is preparation and, you know, just research and getting ready, and obviously having, you know, the right people around you. You know, who knows whether, you know, Tirico had that field goal note handy or if a, you know, stats guy handed it to him right there on the spot. Regardless, it makes for a great listen for the audience.
Well, and then obviously if that's the case, the entire broadcast team, obviously we want to give mention to, but if the producer or somebody sitting there says, hey, here's the stat and here's some more facts on it, that's great job by them as well, because that really adds to the play-by-play.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
So, all right, finally, Fred Gaudeli's final game. This is big news. You know, you're a guy who works behind the scenes on what producers mean to these broadcasts.
Yeah, you know, and this is, I mean, universally considered one of the absolute best in the business over the years. 33 seasons in NFL primetime package has had Fred Gaudeli in the producer's chair. And Al Michaels for 33 of those seasons has been in the booth with him. In fact, he began producing games back in NFL games in 1990. If you remember ESPN Sunday Night Football, you know, he did that for 11 years, then moved into the Monday Night Football truck with ABC. And, you know, I was doing a little more reading on Gaudeli. You know, he's retiring now. He's at age 62. But in all those years, he's only worked with three play-by-play announcers. Mike Patrick at ESPN, Al Michaels, and now Mike Tirico. You know, so that's pretty interesting as far as you can only imagine that the chemistry that he's got with these specific announcers when he's able to, you know, do that many games year in, year out with them. He went over to Amazon Prime and worked that package this year as well. And certainly, you know, we talked a lot about that as far as that show having such a great look and feel to it and such a big time, you know, approach, despite, as we've talked about as well, you know, not being necessarily the best games, but, you know, in terms of the competition on the field, but the look was great. And just want to give a big hat tip to one of the best in the business. I'm sure there's so many tentacles as far as his sort of coaching tree, as far as other producers out there, you know, who have learned from Fred, and, you know, hope he enjoys his retirement.
Yeah, an incredible, important person in live sports. And they did do a nice tribute to him on the broadcast, and he did not acknowledge the camera at all. I mean, he did not give a wave, nothing. He just kept on focusing. That's a big loss for the sports broadcasting industry. Fred Gaudeli. Tampa Bay, Dallas is the ABC, ESPN, Joe Buck, Aikman, Lisa Salters, plus you had the Manning cast. So this is the first of ESPN's. They're going to have an extra game next year. This was the Monday night game. They're going to have a game in the divisional round next year, too, with this crew.
Yeah, so Buck and Aikman, you know, John Lewis over at Sports Media Watch pointed out that, you know, this is the earliest that Buck and Aikman's season has ever concluded, you know, because when they were with Fox, they would obviously go deep into the playoffs and oftentimes Super Bowl calls as well. But, you know, they handled the Monday Night Football call. Obviously, a lot of excitement for this one, you know, big viewership because of the matchup, Cowboys versus Tom Brady. And, you know, as far as on the field, the game didn't, you know, amount to all that much with sort of a blowout nature to it. However, obviously the big storyline of, you know, the Cowboys advancing on, and also the Buccaneers and Tom Brady and all the speculation about him.
All right. Well, let's get into Tom Brady, because what's next for him? Does he play? He's got that contract. What does Fox do with them? Some people have speculated he'll never call a game. Now that he loses that game the way that he does he say, you know what? The boot doesn't sound all that bad. Where do we go with Tom Brady from here?
You know, I don't cover, you know, the NFL, and I'll defer to the reporters who actually have, you know, sort of some inside tracks on some of this. But even them. I don't know if they know the answer either. You know, he does have the contract in place with Fox, and I've mentioned it time and time again. You know, that initial press release said that, you know, Tom Brady will join the booth immediately upon his retirement. And you know, the Burkhart Olsen team has worked out so well that you'd like to, you know, at least from me, just sort of from a 10,000 feet view, wouldn't want to disrupt that at all if I was in charge. But you know, there's really no telling. You know, most of the speculation I see is that he's going to come back and play another season. You know, who knows where? And so that would kind of shelf this for at least a year as far as the booth goes. And you know, in most of the coverage, as far as you know, reports and speculation and that kind of thing, the booth isn't mentioned all that much. You know, it seems to be, you know, like you said, he might never, you know, take advantage of that contract or two, come back and play.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to come back and play, but some people that I've talked to in the broadcasting business, they don't think he'll ever call a game. Others say, yeah, he might do some, you know, appearances, some studio stuff, but you know, that contract was more to have him in the room for sales. You know, hey, Tom Brady's here. Ford, do you want to sign on for the NFL this year? That kind of stuff, more so than being the actual 17-game game analyst and traveling all over. We'll see. No one really knows what that contract really entails and what he needs to do with it. But what's next for Tom Brady with his final game of the season in the books? All right, the divisional round this weekend. Let's go through who's got what.
Yeah, so Jacksonville at Kansas City kicks things off on NBC on Saturday. That's the 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time kickoff. Number one NBC crew, Tirico Collinsworth Stark, naturally will handle that one. And then up your way, Giants and Eagles. Prime time on Saturday night, 8:00 Eastern kickoff on Fox. Joe Davis, Daryl Johnston, and then the two sideline reporters, Pam Oliver and Christina Pink. So we see Joe Davis for a second straight week. And then Sunday's games, 3:00 kickoff on CBS. That's the Bengals at the Bills. Nance, Romo, Wolfson, and Feely, the kicking analyst. And then Cowboys at Niners is the primetime Sunday game, 6:00 Eastern time on Fox, the number one Fox team, Burkhart, Olsen, Andrews, and Rinaldi there.
All right, so there's your divisional round, and Westwood One, we know, has all the playoffs on the radio. That's going to be Kevin Harlan, Trent Green, Olivia Decker on Saturday afternoon. Saturday night, Kevin Kugler, Ross Tucker, Laura Oakman will be on the sideline. Ian Eagle, Mike Mayock, and Ross Tucker for the game in Cincinnati, so Tucker will get back-to-back. He'll be in Philadelphia and then in Buffalo. Philadelphia Saturday night, then Buffalo for the early game on Sunday. That's a rough travel right there. And then Ryan Radke, Mike Golic, Ed Werder. ESPN letting Westwood One, lending them Ed Werder for the game. How about that? As he'll get the Dallas-San Francisco game.
Yeah, Ed Werder, you know, and obviously an expert when it comes to the Cowboys, so I'm sure that'll be beneficial to that Westwood One audience. Hey, we've said it 1,000 times, you know, I can't emphasize enough just, you know, how solid these Westwood One and national radio calls are. If you get the chance, you might want to, you know, turn it up while you're watching the game on TV, or if you're in your car, make sure you tune in and that kind of thing. I mean, they really do a solid job, you know, including the studio shows, you know, hosted, you know, on the NFL side by Scott Graham. Kevin Winter does a lot of the studio work as well. Really enjoy listening to him. Our buddy Mark Kestisher, you know, is all over the place with on the ESPN side with Kevin Winter. So I enjoy them on the studios, but Scott Graham on the Westwood One studio. And I look at this lineup again. We talked about this last week when they went six deep, you know, again, Harlan, Kugler, Eagle, Radke, and then that stable of analysts and sideline reporters as well. I mean, they've got a great group there. And, it's going to be fun to see them in action again this weekend.
All right, there you go. Radio stuff there. NBA on MLK. They had their day. I mean, obviously, I love it. I think they do a great job with that. Games all day. You got afternoon basketball. Really, the sport gets a chance. You had a lot of afternoon hockey that day as well. But the NBA on MLK has been a staple for years, and the NBA took advantage of it with some great teams.
Yeah, you know, I got to work a few MLK Day games over the years down in Miami with the Miami Heat, and it is a really meaningful, you know, special atmosphere at an NBA arena on Martin Luther King Day. And if anybody out there hasn't been to a game, wherever you may reside on that day, I encourage you to do so, because it really is a kind of a powerful tribute and reflection. Yeah, and then there was a couple, you know, national games on TNT. Kevin Harlan, Reggie Miller, and Chris Haynes did that Heat Hawks game. I was able to catch some of that. Then Spiro Dedis, Grant Hill, and Stephanie Reddy were on the Suns Grizzly games, where Morant continues to be the story there. Talk about, you know, an opportunity for an announcer to call some major highlights with that guy.
Yeah, obviously Morant is a lot of young players. There was some interesting conversation about, you know, all these young players in the league right now, and they're really putting Ja Morant up there as one of them. ESPN Radio, Mark Kesser and Corey Alexander will get that Thursday Warriors-Celtics game. You've got, Friday, which obviously leads us into the NHL, which the NHL we mentioned, there was an afternoon because the Flyers played at 1 o'clock on MLK Day, so the NHL also did some early games that day, but the NHL now halfway through their season.
Yeah, continuing to march on with, you know, TNT and the ESPN package as well. You know, you're likely listening to this on Thursday or Friday. This past Wednesday, more action was on TNT, Boston and the Islanders with Kenny Albert, and then Dallas and San Jose out west with Brendan Burke. And then there's a game on Thursday night on ESPN, 9 o'clock Eastern time. John Buchagras, Ray Ferraro, and Leah Hextall reporting on that one.
All right, you got that. You've got college basketball down the stretch. They come. We're into conference play now, into the heart of that. And we got some Jay Wright stuff.
Yeah, Jay Wright continues to get reps, you know, and they've been using him with a couple of different play-by-play announcers. So that's probably beneficial also for him to kind of catch on to the different styles and that kind of thing. I know Tom McCarthy, you know, did a game with them. And then, you know, this past weekend, Spiro Dedis did a game with Jay Wright and Bill Raftery. And Raftery actually went on to do three games in 3 days. They were all kind of up there in the Midwest. But, you know, I felt like I, you know, kept on going to the Raftery tweet, which is always fun, you know, to let the world know that he's calling another game. And so, you know, the more the better, if you ask me, when it comes to Bill Raftery. But cool to see that, you know, they're using that combination, Jay Wright, Bill Raftery, and, you know, getting Wright more and more comfortable, you know, calling these games in live action.
Yeah, well, Jay Wright, Bill Raftery, one of the best. But Jay Wright, as we talked about when the news was announced that he was going to call games, I had kind of predicted that he will be somebody that the listeners and the fans, college basketball fans, will enjoy hearing from. And I think you're getting that from Jay Wright. So more Jay Wright, Bill Raftery, three games in 3 days. Let's go to a little Mountain West, a little West stuff. UNLV, Colorado State. We're going to take you through a play.
The trigger. Floats ahead. Stevens with the catch. 1 second left. From half court it goes! We're tied at 70! Jackpot in Vegas for Isaiah Stevens! Stevens ties it up. Off balance. More basketball in Vegas.
All right, so there you go. It looks like, and you got the music in the background that makes you think it's an NCAA tournament, but tell us a little bit about this Chris Lewis clip.
Yeah, so Chris Lewis, you know, this was on CBS Sports Network, and he's been getting all sorts of assignments with them. But I wanted to mention my interaction with Chris, because I think it's a great lesson for any young broadcaster who might be trying to break into the business. You know, I, as you know, over the years, I've done a bunch of talent stats work, and there was a stretch of a bunch of years where I was working with play-by-play announcer Dave Lamont and analyst Ray Bentley, and we would get assigned quite often games out west. You know, we'd go to places like Boise, we go to Reno, Nevada, we go to San Jose, all these Mountain West type games and that kind of thing. And at least twice when we went out to a Mountain West game, Chris Lewis, who at the time was a play-by-play announcer and had to be very young, either still in college or just out of college, but he was a play-by-play radio guy for Boise State women's basketball and would fill in, you know, with the men's basketball team and that kind of thing. But he would do his best to get a behind-the-scenes gig with ESPN when we were coming into town. And it was either like a secondary stats job or even a, spotter type role. What I would recommend, you know, for somebody trying to bust in, even if runner is the job, you can get whatever it can be to kind of get you in the center of things and around the production crew. And I saw with my very eyes, Chris doing exactly that. And, you know, he obviously, you know, knew how a broadcast was supposed to unfold because he was a play-by-play announcer himself. But, he was able to contribute a lot to the shows we were doing. But I think more than anything, he was getting his name and face out there and getting, you know, the network going and that kind of thing. And, you know, just to see him, a few years later, get this full-time gig with CBS Sports Network, where he's calling, you know, NCAA basketball, amongst other sports, college football. He did some games this past season. I know he also was a play-by-play announcer for some of NBC Sports Olympic coverage for the 2020 Tokyo games, he was able to get a gig there. So just a great example for young announcers as far as, you know, the way you can kind of get your foot in the door and get started in this business, which isn't easy to do, but it's also something that can be attained if you go about it the right way.
All right. Great story there, and a lot of opportunities because, as you mentioned, there's for TV stuff. There's also a lot of college hoops on the radio and multiple networks offering games, and that means more jobs.
Yeah, so college hoops is really getting going on the radio. You know, we talked about Westwood One's depth. They did those six NFL playoff games last weekend during the Super Wild Card weekend. Well, they actually had another broadcast even on that Saturday. So make it seven Westwood One national broadcasts in 3 days, because they had Jason Benetti and Steve Lapis on the Kentucky-Tennessee game, which actually turned out to be a heck of a ball game, you know, as far as, you know, Kentucky knocking off Tennessee last Saturday. And then there's more Westwood One coverage this week upcoming, including a game on Thursday night, Indiana at Illinois. Jason Ross and Fran Fraschilla on that one. A couple ESPN radio games on Saturday. Mike Cousins, former guest on the podcast with Bob Valvano on TCU Kansas, and then Mark Kesesher and Mark Adams on Tennessee LSU. Compass Media has been getting things going with college basketball as well. They've got a game at least once a week. Cal Yeomans and Doug Gottlieb run their most recent broadcast of Baylor and Texas Tech. So, you know, more opportunities, you know, if you want to, you know, kind of study the craft of radio announcing, you know, it's cool to hear these calls of college hoops as well.
Yeah, and as we mentioned, there's a lot of offerings out there. Compass Media, ESPN, Westwood One. You know, Westwood One actually has a college basketball offering on Saturday night at the same time as the NFL playoff game. So I don't know how many stations are picking that up. It's Illinois and Indiana. I think that is it's Tennessee and LSU, excuse me, on Saturday night at 8:15. I don't know.
That's the ESPN radio game.
Oh, that's, excuse me, ESPN radio.
Kestisher and Adams on that one.
Right, so I don't know how many people would be picking that game up against the football game, but it just shows you the show goes on, and there's some people out there that just love their college hoops. Tennessee, LSU, Mark Kestisher and Mark Adams will do that game. All right.
We're in some cases, Mike, is it the case in some markets where there's more than one sports talk station that one of them might be an ESPN radio affiliate and they'll kind of always go with the ESPN radio game and then the other one will go with the Westwood One game?
Yeah, it could be. And like, we're in a situation, so it just to peel the curtain back on our situation, we are an Eagles affiliate. So we carry the Eagles feed. We're also a Westwood One affiliate. But because we have the Eagles game and they play at night, we cannot fit the Westwood One basketball game in on Saturday before the Eagles game because we're contractually obligated to carry 1 hour of pregame. So obviously the Eagles kick off at 8:15. We have to start the broadcast at 7. The Westwood One game would cross 7 o'clock. So ESPN, which we are an affiliate of, is offering a college basketball game in the 3:30 slot. So we will take the college basketball game instead of the football game because the college basketball game will end around 5:30, 6 o'clock, which gives us clearance. Because if you don't carry the basketball game, you are stuck carrying Pod Center as the filler for not carrying the basketball. They don't have like a live program on in its place because they're offering the basketball game. If you decide, I don't want to air the basketball game, well, you're getting Pod Center, which is just like a canned podcast that has possibly could be a week or two old that's just running on your station. So we're going to air, I think it's TCU in Kansas on Saturday. And
the early ESPN radio game on Saturday. Yep.
Yeah. And then after it, right after it, there's another game that I think that they're airing sometime. So there's a lot of reasons. Yes, you could have an ESPN station that is an affiliate like we are of an Eagles. The Crosstown station, which we don't have in our market, they could have the Westwood One rights, that kind of stuff.
Gotcha. Yeah. Makes sense.
All right. Well, we got a listener question or two before we want to get out of here today. Don't forget, we're on the Sports Media Watch feed. Like, rate, review, subscribe. How about a 5-star rating? That would be very nice, right? If you do that, we can keep on going. We have episode 32 right here. We'd love to get to episode 102 and 202, but you guys helping us out with that would be helpful. And how about Marianne in Austin, Texas?
Yeah, great to hear from Marianne. She says, great podcast, very informative. What does the NFL and college football production teams do during the offseason? Is there that much work in other sports? I'm thinking about baseball mainly, for them to have constant and consistent work.
Well, I mean, I guess that's up to each individual person, right? I mean, you are someone who does some behind the scenes stats stuff. I mean, do you do multiple sports in that field?
Yeah, most of us, I think, do. You know, so I think most folks, whether you're, you know, so there's a couple categories when it comes to production folks. You know, you're either a full-time employee of the network, which case, you know, you obviously are going to be assigned all sorts of, you know, games across all sorts of sports to keep the calendar full, or, you know, you're more by contract, part-time, freelance, that kind of thing. And in those cases, you know, a lot of us, like myself, you know, have day jobs. You know, you're always looking for opportunities. And, you know, I think the more well-rounded you can be and willing to work, each and every sport that might have an opportunity, you know, that, you know, obviously the more lucrative that will be, but also just the further along you'll get in your career. You know, there's an old saying, you know, you go where they tell you to, you know, in this business.
Yeah.
You know, you don't ask questions. If they say, hey, we need somebody to do, you know, softball or lacrosse or, you know, whatever the sport might be, you don't say no to gigs unless obviously you've got, you know, some sort of conflict or something. But, you know, that's a good kind of adage to go by. But the answer is yes. And certainly you're correct, Marianne. You know, the baseball season, you know, that just the quantity of games, you know, the length of the baseball season, you know, can really take care of business quite a bit. If you're able to catch on with somebody for a full Major League Baseball season, you know, wow, that's a lot of assignments. And, you know, if you're a freelancer, you know, certainly a lot of opportunity for you to, you know, to take care of business outside of the football season.
Yeah. Obviously, when I always ask, young people ask me, give me, you know, what's an advice, something that you can give me. And I always say, any opportunity that comes, say yes. Just
yep,
say yes.
That's it.
Right. Don't ask how much am I getting paid. Ask that later. Find out later. You might not get paid at all. But if somebody says, hey, are you available? Just always say yes. Your availability puts you at the top of the list. Your ability to do multiple things puts you even higher on the list. So that would be some advice there. All right. There you go. Episode 32 in the books with a lot of football, the NBA. We will be getting into baseball soon. We are about a month away from pitchers and catchers. So we'll have some baseball stuff, obviously, in the next month or so. Basketball playoffs will be here before we know it. Hockey playoffs will be here before we know it. But the NFL playoffs winding down with the divisional round this week. All right, Phil, anything else we want to add before we clean this one up?
Just one final shout out. Chuck Swirsky, the Chicago Bulls play-by-play announcer this past week, called his 2,000th NBA game. So, you know, that's obviously a big number, a big milestone for Chuck Swirsky with the Chicago Bulls. He was with the Raptors prior to the Bulls. And so just wanted to give a hat tip to Mr. Chuck Swirsky. Congratulations on reaching that milestone.
All right. Obviously, plenty of news out there that we will continue to look for and talk about right here on the Announcer Schedule Podcast, episode 32. For Phil, I'm Mike. Have a great rest of your week, everybody.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.